You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
No announcements? Okay, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Proverbs today, chapter 4, verses 23-27. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, we are now 25% through the first semester, or the fall semester, and things are just ramping up for me anyway. So I've got meetings to go to and no time to do anything. But I enjoy my job, and it's a great thing. I was thinking about how I can see God's hand in my life, and I'm sure you can do the same as you look back on yours. And as you get a little bit older, you begin to look back and see some of the decisions you've made, and some of them not necessarily good ones, but then there's others that were good. But in all these things, if you look carefully, you can see God's hand in working even in your errors that you make. And so we can thank God for all of what he does in our life. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank thee for, again, this opportunity we have, Lord, in opening the scriptures afresh and considering the edification we can get, the application of the scriptures to our lives. We thank thee for the practical knowledge that's in the scriptures, and that we have an opportunity to edify others, help them along the way, and we ask we do this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're into Proverbs. Last time we looked at quite a few things, especially about right division, how that the Lord himself is going to direct our paths, and he is involved with the right division of our paths, and he's instructed us to do likewise with the scriptures, that we must rightly divide the word of truth. And by doing this, we can see a lot of wisdom, and through this, God will certainly intervene, I believe, in many ways. It's hard to know exactly how God moves and works in our lives, but I believe this to be true, that if you look into your history, you'll see in many ways God moving and making paths for us so that we can go down the right way. Look at this interesting thing that right there in that third chapter, we find so many quotes by the New Testament writers, including Paul. Paul, James, and Peter are quoting from that chapter we looked at, chapter 3. Very important thing, that there is wisdom here for people who are in leadership positions to be able to take the wisdom that was given to Solomon and other people in great places of responsibility and use this wisely. I think we should do this to people who are in positions of responsibility. We need to remind them of things that are happening in the world, in the light of the scriptures, and take good advantage of that opportunity. Lots of great examples in there. Now, this is something I needed to get to. So we are going to get to chapter 4. And, you know, I've got to watch this not to run rabbits. But this is such an interesting thing. If you look at this verse 13, happy. You see, this it's translated happy, and it means, oh, the blessedness. Oh, the blessedness. And this comes up in the scriptures through Proverbs and in these places. And if you notice, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times. There's 8 times that it occurs. Now, as soon as I see 8 times, I just, man, I can hear music. You know, there's music to my ears. And so you get this occurrence of 7 where the blessedness comes in. And then the 8th, a new beginning, number 8, right? He rested the 7th day. And then what happens? A new week begins. a new week begins. And it's interesting to see how the new week begins, or should. Look at the instruction. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That happy is this blessedness. Wait. So, first of all, there's this idea of vision. If you are going to successfully move through the progression of wisdom and see the blessedness that can come to you through the expression of Lady Chokhmah in your life, then what you need, my friends, is to have with it a vision. A vision. You know, for us, the vision comes in the person and work of Christ in representing and giving us the revelation of the mystery. Man, what a vision that is. And it says, but he that keepeth the law. Well, wait a minute. The law comes to us through the law of Messiah. That is why you find right through Paul's epistles and his prison epistles the word Messiah in the Greek word Christos. Christ. Christ. The anointed one. And there is a law of Messiah that comes to us. And where are we going to find the law of Christ coming to us? Through, again, the right division of the scriptures in the law coming to us through Paul, the prisoner, giving us specialist instruction. That's how the law of Messiah comes to us. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Oh man, there's so many applications for this, isn't there? Where there's no vision, the people perish. My friends, a lot of Christians today are perishing because they do not understand the Word of God rightly divided. They do not understand the law of Messiah, which is given specially to us in this age, because they do not know this principle of right division. There's a lot in here, my friends. There's a lot in here. This is an amazing portion of Scripture. And as I've gone through it, I've discovered more. But we're going to move on, to be honest, and get into chapter 4, because that's what I said I'd do. We're going to do that. Let's get into chapter 4. And if you notice, chapter 4 really completes a wisdom's call. See here, you got to chapter 3, verse 1, right to chapter 4, verse 27. That's right to the end of chapter 4. And that will conclude wisdom's call, this section A2 here. And it's really cool to understand that. If you go across to chapter 4 of Proverbs in verse 1, look how it goes. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father. Now remember, the way that it goes here is that the Proverbs that are given are not all from Solomon. That there is a group of wise men who instruct Solomon and give their instruction. And here what you're going to get is an interesting perspective of the wise. Hear ye children, these are the sons, the instruction of a father. Now, the instructors were known as fathers, and the students were known as sons. And attend to no understanding. Okay, this instruction involves correction. There has to be correction. In terms of right division, is there not clearly correction? The very notion of instruction involves correction. And the way that you understand anything is you have to have a comparison. You have to have a comparison. If you try to just say, this is it, and you have nothing else to compare it with, man, that's hard to grab. Have you ever tried teaching anything in isolation without a comparison? It's very difficult. It's a very, very difficult thing to do. As a teacher, I know this. Now, here's a little thing about what I teach. I'm a statistician, all right? Now, in statistics, there are two basic paradigms of statistics. One is known as classical statistics, which comes from people like Neyman and Pearson and people like Fisher. And then there's another paradigm of statistics, which is known as Bayesian statistics, which interestingly comes from the name of Thomas Bayes, who was a Christian man, a nonconformist minister in Britain, And he passed on. He died. And 2 years later, his friend, Richard Price, got permission from the family to go through his belongings. And he went to his office. And there he found in one of the drawers an article. And it was almost complete. But what he did was he took it and he put a preface on it and he published it. And not, he didn't pretend it was his or anything. There's nothing like that. He gave Thomas Bayes the correct ownership of the article. He just put a preface on it. And that, from that, was established a great paradigm of statistics called Bayesian statistics. And so I teach that. In fact, I call myself a Bayesian statistician. But it's so cool to have both paradigms, and then you understand one from looking at the other, and you can understand more about the differences and therefore what it means to be a Bayesian statistician or what it means to be a classicist. Okay, comparison's got to be there, correction. And it says here in verse 2, look at this. For I give you good doctrine. Oh, you mean there can be bad doctrine? You ain't kidding, there can be some bad teaching. There can be some serious bad teaching. If you look at this expression, good doctrine, in English, it comes up twice in the Bible. Right here, and then in 1 Timothy 4. And if you read the context of 1 Timothy 4, it's all about the last days of this age. Perilous times shall come. And with those perilous times, there shall be all sorts of bad doctrine. Bad doctrine. And without clear, right division teaching, man, that's an open slather for bad doctrine. But what does Paul say? If they put the brethren in remembrance of these things, put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Okay, you want to be a good minister? You want to serve Christ? Then you need to take note. Nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. So, you notice, Timothy, Paul says, has attained to this. We can attain. It's possible to attain to it. We can attain to this good doctrine, and so we should. And there's no apology for that principle that this fellowship here for a long time has espoused, and which I completely agree with, and that is fundamentally we have to rightly divide the word of truth. From this will come a lot of truth. And carrying on to chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "For I was my father's son." What do you mean, I was my father's son? Well, there's a season, right, when he gained instruction. This wise person teaching Solomon can say, for I was my father's son. And yes, I am a teacher, but now I had my season too. Right? I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. What a wonderful thing. Later on, you're going to find a lot of things said about the mother, you know, and how that when they get older in years, so you must maintain your respect for your mother. And it's a very marked thing that comes up in Proverbs. You'll see this. And it says, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. If you come down to verse 23, and this is why I put this in the reading, that we read before the service. Keep thy heart with all diligence. Now, there's lots of application for this. And young people need to get this. This is a very... See where it says here, keep? Well, that means guarding it. Like a treasure. Time will come when a young person has to make the decision about the wife they're going to take, or the husband they're going to take, right? That time of life will come, right? It's a great time of life. Let's not try and put the damps on it. It's a great time. But, in this process of choosing the person that you are going to be married to, in this process, be careful about exposing your heart. You need to guard the heart. Because at some stage in this process, you might discover things about the person that you thought was good and going to be a good decision for you. You find that, no, it's not right. It's not going to be the right person for me. And you do not want to release all of your heart to someone who then may trample on top of it. Do you know that? We know this is true. This is good wisdom here about relationships. And we need to be careful for the season. And it's tricky. It's not easy. And it takes you being careful to read the other person and understand what's going on. And it says here in verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And live. See, in the ultimate sense, the Father is going to be sharing the Word of God and the requirements. And for us, it would be like the law of Messiah. Understanding through right division what the law of Messiah is. Keep my commandments and live. This is ultimate life coming here. Instruction from the Word of God and live. Resurrection coming. These are very important ideals. Get wisdom, get understanding. Oh, I love this, right? I love this. Get it. We use this word get in all sorts of ways in education. Do you get it? No, I don't get it. Right? Do you get it? And actually, we use some colloquials. Do you dig it? Actually, dig in that sense, I know the hippies used it, but actually it's come from the scriptures. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. Wisdom, you see, when it's expressed, and you are going for this, you better get it and you better not forget it. Get it, don't forget it. Good ideals for teaching, right? Important stuff. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. There she is. Lady Kokuma is here, my friends. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Well, men, you're married, but you're allowed to love another woman. Here she is. Lady Kokuma. Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. That's the principal thing. The principal thing is wisdom. There are principles in this life. They're the ABCs. Need to get wisdom. That's the principal thing. And with all thy getting, get understanding. You see, the kind of understanding that makes sense is how this knowledge works. How it works in your life. And how you can help other people get edification in this life and live a life that's meaningful. And so that's very practical. It's understanding, yes, but it is understanding that it comes down to the feet. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. Beautiful. No commentary needed on this. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. So in this idea of wisdom comes this idea of expressing the fruit of it. And many times this will be something that's kind of obvious. Have you met someone who in certain respects has wisdom? It's very hard to say that anyone is universally wise, you know, because wisdom is particular. There are people who have wisdom in certain areas, and boy, they drop a blue here and there, right, in other areas. But they'll have wisdom in an area. And that wisdom comes from the spirit of Lady Kokuma. The spirit of wisdom comes. And it's an inspiration. I was talking to Seppi about this. Have you ever thought about where your creative ideas come from? Yeah, you can get taught this and you can get taught that. And then what happens is you put these ideas together in your mind, and after pondering these things, a fresh idea comes. Where did it come from? This is where I believe people who are materialists and people who are trying to deny the existence of God completely miss the boat. Because what comes to us is part of that reflection of the fact that we are image bearers of the God Almighty. Yes, fallen as it is, but nonetheless, part of the image of God is with us. And with that is that creativity. God is the one who created and spoke everything into existence. And with that, that spirit is with us also. And so we can, in areas, show wisdom. And that expression of wisdom comes through the Spirit. And so with it, we can find great glory in that area. Now, let me just be frank and honest. Let's take music, for example. Music. There are certain people who are very musical. And there's others of us that are not so musical. And we might have an area of wisdom somewhere else. And because we are created, whether we be people who have accepted the Lord God for who He is and His Son, Jesus Christ, whether that be true or not, is not going to change the fact that every one of us are human beings and we can have wisdom in certain areas. Think of those in years gone by. Mozart, Bach, Beethoven, Mendelssohn. If you go back, you will find that some of the greats that we consider great were not such great people in certain areas. Do you know that, right? You know that. It does not change the fact that in the area of music, they had Lady Cockmer visit. And with that came great inspiration in areas. In the popular music, there are people who are obviously talented, yet in their personal lives, they've blown it, man. Totally blown it. But it's not going to change the reality that as a human being, they can have wisdom in certain areas. We can go through a whole lot of names of groups, right? I won't do it. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Notice a neat little quote here, which is really cool to understand the grammar of this. Again, this came up before. The years of thy life shall be many. My saying shall grow greater through the years of thy life. These, you know, sayings shall grow greater through the years of thy life. And it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. So again, the instructor is doing this. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Now I want to say something about this verse 12. It says, when thou goest, this is the person instructed, thy steps shall not be straitened. Now why not? Because in some contexts you want a corrected path, right? But what he is getting at here is the fact that it's not like you've got blinds on and a new vista doesn't open to you. It doesn't mean to say that because you've been given wise instruction that you can't see a whole lot of great and glorious things before you. No, you can. And he says, and when thou runnest, now that's a choice to run, right? You can walk. Now, you can make a choice to run, and when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. See, both of these portions in verse 12, they're all about a positive thing. When it says, when thou goest, thy steps shall not be straight. That's a good thing. Right? That it's a good thing that thy steps shall not be straightened. What does it mean? Not to be straightened in this context. It means that you can see and you can see a vista being opened up before you. And that's a great thing. And when you choose to run, then you are not going to stumble. And boy, people stumble, don't they? Humans are strange, right? Humans, if they see someone, a human being run and then stumble and fall over, they go, ha, 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 ha. You know, they'll do that, right? If you see an animal run and stumble, you don't laugh. You saw a deer running and stumbled. It's not funny. But when you see a human running and then they stumble, there can be a reaction of laughter to it. It's part of our fallen nature, I believe. Part of it. It's an expression of it. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Why? We've read that she is a tree of life, man. Enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. See, don't even tempt yourself. There are people who are tempted. And by the way, we're going to get into strong drink and things like that. There are people who have weaknesses in their lives, right? They are susceptible. Everyone is a sinner, and everyone has certain weaknesses, different and varied from another person. Your weakness and strength, well, could be quite a different set than mine. But some people have a real weakness when it comes to alcohol, don't they? I mean, that's a weakness. And they can walk by, say, a pub or some sort of bar, and if they even smell the smell of beer or some sort of alcoholic drink, they just about go into la la land. You know, it's like, take me in, you know, and I've got to take some of this stuff. Weakness are there. Well, if you know you have those weaknesses, good instruction would be to say, keep away, man, keep away. Keep well away from those things. Now, hit down further in verse 17, it says, for they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. Well, it's interesting that that example I gave had to do with intoxicants like this, like wine, and drink the wine of violence. Some people get drunk on this kind of life and living. I was watching the news recently where this poor 21-year-old young man, handsome young man, actually, and he had a nice new truck. And some evil little guy wanted his truck. And as it turns out, it would appear that what he did was he put two slugs in the back of this guy's head just so he could take his truck. Buried him in a shallow grave. How disgraceful, huh? Terrible stuff. This goes on. The ultimate in violence can happen. And it says in verse 18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You think about that in our lives, right? When I consider the wonderful truths that have been shown to us in the scriptures rightly divided, and I can see that the great shining light that's coming, I can see that death is starting to knock on my door in terms of my age and the body is starting to go down. I can see there's going to come a time when I'll breathe my last breath. But man, I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know? And that I will again, just like Job said, stand in the latter day upon the earth. And it's going to be a wonderful time of light, the great light, when we can see all of our friends and relatives have gone on and meet them again in the resurrection. Man, is that going to be a great time? That's going to be a fantastic time. It says this in verse 20, my son, attend to my words. Now look at how the words start coming in here. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. One good reason I believe that you should consider the word of God in the English version of the King James is first of all because of its inheritance, where it comes from. That's the first reason. But the second reason is because of the choice of the words and its rhyme and its rhythm, the way that it's written. Because what we need to do is we've got to remember these words. I was telling Reuben when I was growing up, and I'm going to start instituting this again, I used to have these 3x5 cards, line cards, and I'd write on here passages of scriptures that I really wanted to memorize. And I used to carry them around in my pocket, and when I'd work out at the gym, for example, I'd put this deck down and I'd look at the first verse. So on one side would be the name of the verse, and the other side would be the actual verse written out completely. And I just look at the name of the verse and I see if I can quote, "For though thou wash thee with neater and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before thee, saith the God." Oh, okay, I got that right. Go through it. And wouldn't take long before, man, you'd have a good record in your heart, in your mind, of the scripture. "Attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings." Yeah, they're sayings. And they have meter. "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them." Life. "And health," look at this, and I believe this, I totally believe this, "to all their flesh." Now you can get the spiritual heart, you can understand that, but look what it says here, "and health to all their flesh." There is a spiritual component to health, friends. There is. It's there. Now people will say, "Oh, that's just the placebo effect." You know what that is, right? The placebo effect is where you tell someone, "Oh, this piece of sugar here is really such and such a medicine, and if you take it, you're going to feel really good." And as far as you know, they're telling you the truth. But in fact, it's nothing. Right? It's empty. And you take it, "Oh, yeah, boy, I feel good." That's the placebo effect, right? That's the so-called mind over matter effect. But what I'm talking about is not a placebo effect. What I'm talking about is where God respects your spiritual condition before Him and intervenes in terms of health. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Boy, we've commented about this. "Put away from thee a froward mouth," that's a perverse mouth, "and perverse lips put far from thee." So easy to say the wrong thing, is it? It's best to just hold back and think. Now, I'm going to have to admit, man, I've made my mistakes here. They've been made. So let's not try and pretend some holier-than-thou place for me. Because, no, this is speaking to me right up front. "Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee." One of my problems, too, in life is that sometimes I can stare. Now, I'm not necessarily staring at a particular thing. I'm thinking about something else, but my eyes are all over the place. You've got to watch that too. "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." Yeah. Your ways should be established, planned out, and marked. "Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." That is, don't be persuaded to go off target. We've just discussed this, right? Without there being a clear vision, the people will perish. And that's the progression of wisdom. And so it is here. All 27 verses, man. It's a rock and roll, man. This is the kind of stuff that we need in practice. And it also informs us on how important the practice of right division is. How practical it is. You don't even know how to pray without right division. You don't know how to live your life without right division. You can't plan things properly and choose the correct path. Not at all. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee for this time we've got. For the Scriptures rightly divided in this book of Proverbs, all that it's teaching us, Lord. And we ask Your blessing on all lives here and abroad and all those who are looking at the message online, that they come to understand the Scriptures more deeply. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.